Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for this morning's meditation is our gospel lesson recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Soon afterward, Jesus went on his way to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd were traveling with him. As he was approaching the town gate, there was a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not cry." He went up to the open coffin, touched it, and the pallbearers stopped. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear gripped all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." This was reported about him in all of Judea and in all the surrounding countryside. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, it was late afternoon when the hearse pulled up to the church. As the workers from the mortuary carefully took the coffin out of the back of the car and rolled it to the front of the sanctuary, flowers had been sent by many family members and friends, and they arranged those near the coffin. And before too long, the widow was brought forward to take her place right next to the deceased. And the visitors began entering one by one. At first, it was a slow trickle, but then soon the line was beyond the sanctuary, well out the back door. It was a painful and difficult process. As those friends and family members approached the casket, they would then go on to the widow, hug her, and say a few kind words of comfort. But over the course of hours, soon that line began to slow, and the last visitor finally went through. And the widow soon was all alone once again. She turned towards the casket as she saw her beloved there, weeping once again. Despite all of the friends and family that came out to comfort her, the pain was still there, the grief still deep within her heart. She wondered what could possibly console her. Isn't that so often the case when it comes to visitations? Family members and friends, they come and they mean well to comfort us in our time of trouble, time of need, and they say beautiful words about our loved ones, try to bring us comfort, but the pain can still be there. What if there was a visitor who could change all of that, who could actually change the way someone felt after the loss of a loved one, a visitor who could change everything? Today in God's Word, we hear of such a visitor. As we consider this theme that God visits his people. Must have been quite a sight that day in the city gate of the small town of Nain. As this massive group of people is following after Jesus, they're all excited because he's performed this miracle of healing the centurion's servant. And they're excited to hear more about what he is coming to do and who he is. They're boisterous and joyful, but leaving the city that day is a very different group. That's the exact opposite. They're filled with so much sorrow and tears. At the front of the group is a casket being carried out of town. There's a lone woman walking behind. It's obvious to all how great and terrible this must be for her. For she's not consoled by a husband or a son, but she's there walking behind. It's evident to all that whoever is in that casket must be the world to her. And yet now, he's gone. And Jesus, as he's walking by with this massive crowd, he zeroes in on this woman. He knows her pain. It says in our text that he has compassion on her. And the word that's used there in the original language really refers to one being moved in his inner parts. Maybe we'd say it this way in English today, that his heart goes out to her. That's what he feels. Perhaps this alone is quite amazing if you think about it. Jesus had all of these people wanting to hear from him. How much good he could do just preaching to this crowd there, and yet what does he do? He zeroes in on this one lone woman and on her need. And his heart goes out to her. You at times maybe feel that God doesn't care. God doesn't have time for you and for your individual needs. After all, you're just one person in a sea of billions of people in this world, and aren't your problems so much smaller than the problems of the entire world? How does God possibly have time for you? We see in our lesson for today that he does, as he takes time for the individual. For this one widow who could offer him nothing but her own trouble and grief and sorrow and pain, that he pauses for her. Reveals to us truly God's heart, that God cares. As the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. As he cares for the individual. As he cares when we are going through terrible things, especially in the face of death, he cares. He has compassion on us. As we think of Jesus himself weeping over his friend Lazarus when he died, he knows what it's like to lose a friend. In some ways, we might say Jesus is like all of those other people that gathered around the widow. He, too, wanted to show his compassion, his care, his concern. But he knows that this is terrible, what she's going through. And he wants to be there. Really, this visitor does much more. With the visitations or funerals that you've been to, what is the atmosphere like? I think quite often the atmosphere is extremely somber. And we are very careful to keep that same atmosphere, aren't we? Careful not to speak too loudly. Careful to make sure that the kids are under control and they're not causing a scene. Careful not to tell any jokes or cause anyone to laugh, because we don't want to spoil the mood or the atmosphere, because we know it's somber. And out of reverence for the family, we want to show that. But isn't it interesting to note what Jesus does in our lesson for today? He commits a few faux pas, doesn't he? Things that we would never imagine perhaps doing, but he does at the funeral, really wrecking this funeral. What's that first thing that he does? As he approaches the woman, he speaks and he says, "Do not cry." If you think about that phrase, it sounds pretty abrasive, right? It sounds that he doesn't care about her. Do not cry. It's kind of like a parent telling their child, suck it up. Don't get emotional about this, right? Do not cry. How dare he? She has every right to cry, every right to grieve over the loss of her son who meant so much to her. But Jesus says, do not cry, because he knows that he's about to wreck this funeral. He commits another faux pas of sorts as he approaches the coffin. It says in our lesson for today, this small detail, that he touches the coffin. Now, it seems that he touches it in order to stop the parade, to stop the procession. Really, there's perhaps more to it. For us today, it's maybe not that big of a deal for someone to touch the casket or coffin of one who is deceased, but think about it, for the Jewish people back 2,000 years ago, they were forbidden by God to touch a dead body. And the priests were not even to touch things that a dead body had touched, because it would make them ceremonially unclean. But Jesus does exactly that. It shows by his action that he's not afraid to get dirty. He's not afraid to even come in contact with death, because he holds the power over it. It's a good thing that our Savior is not afraid to get dirty. He himself that bore our transgressions, who was dirtied with the guilt of our sin, was not afraid to be cursed through his death on the cross, to be dirtied for us, but also not to dirty himself with death. For he not only touches it, but he himself, as we well know, will enter into it. And Jesus goes on. As all those people gathered round, we think about them as they had prepared so much, taking off of work, getting their proper attire on, taking time out of their day to be there for the family members to go to the funeral. And now Jesus is going to wreck it all, and he does so with these words. "Young man, I say to you, arise." With those words, the young man sits up in his coffin, and he begins to speak. The crowd is blown away by all this. What just happened? He merely spoke those words, and a dead man listened to them, and he sat up in the coffin, and he began speaking again. And Jesus gives him back to his mother. It says in our text that they are filled with fear because of this tremendous miracle that he performs. The impossible. Waking the dead and returning him back to his mother. We see Jesus isn't just concerned when we are in need, when we are troubled and filled with sorrow and grief, but Jesus truly comes to also provide the solution, to provide the solution to that which troubles us, to that which grieves us. As we think about what the psalmist writes in Psalm 50, verse 15, as he encourages us, "Call on me in the day of distress, I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Think about how Jesus provided the solution to this woman raising her son from the dead. The crowd that day concluded that Jesus must be some sort of great prophet, perhaps like Elijah, as we heard in our first lesson for today, who himself raised a young boy as well. But they overlooked the truth that Jesus actually was much more than just a prophet, and in fact their words that God has visited his people were much more true than they realized. For the one who raised this boy didn't simply call upon God to raise him, but he himself spoke the word, "Young man, I say to you, arise," and by his own authority raised the dead. The same Savior comes to visit us in our times of trouble and grief and loss, to also comfort us, but more importantly, to provide a solution. But how so? When we've experienced the death of a loved one, Jesus didn't come to our visitation or our funeral. He didn't come there to raise our dead. It didn't happen like it happened for this woman. But if you think about it, in reality, it's not really that different than what happened for her. You see, Jesus came to her to comfort her with those words, with that phrase, "Do not cry." Not to chastise her, but to give her comfort and hope that he was going to raise her dead. And really, the only difference between us and this woman is a matter of time. You see, she was without her loved one for a few hours or maybe a day at most. He was torn from her in death. But Jesus brought them back together, didn't he? So too, though our loved ones are torn from us in death, Jesus has promised that he is going to raise the dead, that he is going to bring our loved ones back to us one day. It's just going to be a little bit longer than it was for this woman. As he assures us that he is going to raise the dead, all the dead on the final day, and those that have died in the Lord shall live with him forever in heaven. And we too, we shall be reunited with them there in the glories and mansions of heaven forever and ever. You see, God visits his people. He visits us even in our times of trouble, grief, and loss. He visits us to show compassion over what we are going through. But he more importantly visits us to provide the solution. And he does so with his word that assures us of his promises, especially of his great promise to raise the dead on the final day. May we place our hope and trust in the promises of our Lord, to be reassured that he shall raise the dead, and that those who have died in the Lord shall be with him forever in heaven. And there we shall be with them as well. We shall be reunited to them, with them in glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite the congregation to please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.